The sun was already high by the time I left the flat, but the air still had that sharp winter bite, the kind that makes you pull your scarf up to your nose. I had a plan for the day, and it involved getting out of the city, into the Sierras, and onto a trail that would give me a view of the whole valley. I'd been in Cordoba for almost a week now, and I'd done the urban exploration, the museums, the cafes, the historic walks. But the real reason I'd come here, the reason I'd chosen to spend a chunk of my winter in this city, was the hills. They're everywhere here, these rounded, green-brown humps of the Sierras Chicas, and they pull at you every time you catch a glimpse of them from a rooftop or a high window. I checked the forecast the night before, crisp, clear, no rain in sight. So, I decided to take the bus out to the trailhead rather than booking a tour. There's a direct bus that leaves from the terminal, and it costs about 1,250 pesos, which is roughly $1.30, and it drops you at the start of the trail that winds up into the hills above the city. I bought a SUB card at the terminal. You can get one at the Palacio 6 de Julio or any of the CPC offices, and it works on all the city buses and the trolley buses too. The bus itself was warm and mostly empty, and I grabbed a window seat so I could watch the city thin out into suburbs, then into farmland, then into the scrubby, rocky foothills that mark the beginning of the Sierras. The trail started gently, a wide dirt path that switchbacked through low forest, the trees mostly bare in the winter light. I had the route to myself for the first half hour, just the crunch of my boots on the packed earth and the occasional bird call. Then the path steepened, and I had to stop a few times to catch my breath. The altitude isn't high here, not like the Andes, but the climbs are relentless. After about an hour, I broke out above the treeline, and the view opened up. The whole Valle de Punillas spread out below me, the blue of Lake San Roque in the distance, and the city of Cordoba itself a gray smudge on the horizon to the east. I sat on a flat rock and ate a pack of crackers I'd brought, watching a pair of condors circle a distant peak, their wings motionless as they rode the thermals. I thought about the hike I'd done a few days earlier, at Quebrada del Condorito, where I'd watched these same birds from a cliff top. There's something about them, the way they seem to hang in the air without effort, that makes you feel both tiny and part of something big. I stayed up there longer than I'd planned, just letting the quiet settle around me. Then the descent was quick, and by mid-afternoon I was back on the bus, my legs pleasantly heavy, my cheeks flushed with cold and sun. The bus back into the city was a different crowd. School kids in uniforms, a couple of older men with shopping bags, a young woman with a guitar case. I watched the landscape repeat in reverse, the hills giving way to warehouses, and then to the dense apartment blocks of Nueva Cordoba, where I'd rented my flat. Back in the flat, I had a shower that was aggressively lukewarm. The building's boiler, like many here, is shared, and you learn to take quick showers in winter. I changed into warmer clothes, made a round of mate in my thermos, and headed out again, this time with a specific destination in mind. I'd been meaning to check out La Compañía Café and Resto, a place I'd walked past a few times on the edge of Guimes and Nueva Cordoba. The sun had already dropped behind the hills, and the streets were in that blue hour, the temperature falling fast. I ordered a café con leche, about 5,000 pesos, $5, and a slice of some dense chocolate cake, and I sat by the window watching the street fill with early evening pedestrians, all of them bundled up, all of them moving with that unhurried winter pace locals have. The coffee was good, the kind of specialty cafe that's become common in Cordoba's student heartland, where a whole generation has grown up on the idea that a coffee should be an event, not a utility. I pulled out my phone and checked the local event listings as I do most days here, and that's how I found out that the Museo Palacio Dionysi, the provincial photography museum, was opening four new exhibitions that night, with free entry. I'd been meaning to go, so I finished my coffee, paid, and walked over. The museum is in a beautiful old building, all high ceilings and polished floors, and the exhibitions were a mix of Argentine documentary work and some international pieces. I wandered through the galleries alone, the only sound the soft scuff of my shoes and the occasional hum of the lights. I was, frankly, museumed out by the end of the second exhibition. It had been a long week of Palacio Ferreira and Emilio Carafa, so I headed back out into the cold and walked the few blocks to Paseo del Buen Pastor, the old women's prison turned cultural center. I planned to just sit for a bit, but there was a crowd gathered around the central courtyard, and I realized there was a pena starting, an evening of folk music that was about to kick off. I found a seat on the edge of a stone planter and listened as two guitarists and a singer launched into a chacarera, the driving rhythm filling the courtyard. It was a perfect winter scene. The cold air, the warm yellow lights, the music that seems to carry the whole history of the Pampas in its chords. A man sitting next to me offered me a sip of his Fernet con Coca. I declined politely, explaining I'd already had my coffee. He laughed and told me I was missing out, that Fernet was the way to stay warm. We chatted for a bit about the pena scene, about the difference between Cordoba's music and Buenos Aires' tango, and I felt that familiar warmth of being in a place that was starting to feel like home. I stayed for three more songs, then the pena wound down and the crowd dispersed, pulling on gloves and scarves. I was hungry, so I walked over to Standard 69 on a quiet side street, a place I'd had a great lomito at a couple of days ago. This time I ordered the same thing, because you stick with what works. A lomito completo, a serious sandwich with steak, ham, egg, melted cheese, and all the usual vegetables on a soft, toasted bun. It cost about 15,000 pesos, which is around $16, and it was exactly the right thing to have after a day in the hills. I ate at the counter, watching the cook press another sandwich on the grill, the smell of sizzling beef and charring bread filling the room. Around me, a few other diners were doing the same, and the place felt alive with the low murmur of post-work conversations. Afterwards, I walked back towards my flat through the streets of Guimes, past the closed antique stalls of the Paseo de las Arts, their wares covered in tarpaulins for the night. The temperature had dropped to around 6 degrees, and the air had that sharp clarity winter brings, the kind that makes every streetlight seem brighter and every star seem closer. I thought about the day, about the hike and the pena and the museum, and about how different this city feels from the Buenos Aires I'd left just a week ago. Here, it's quieter, more intimate, more about the earth and the hills and the people who choose to live here, away from the capital's relentless hum. When I got back to the flat, I made another mate and I sat at the kitchen table, looking at my notes for this episode. I'd been tracking my spending this week because I know a lot of you are thinking about coming to Argentina and you want a sense of what things actually cost. So here's a rough idea, and remember, prices here move fast. Inflation is at 220% and the exchange rate is a moving target. A coffee in a specialty cafe in Nueva Córdoba was about 5,000 pesos, $5. The lomito tonight was 15,000, $16. A bus ticket anywhere in the city was 1,250 pesos, with a sub card. My flat, a modest one-bedroom in Nueva Córdoba, is costing me about 620,000 pesos a month, which is about $680, and that feels pretty typical for this neighborhood. A mid-range dinner out with a drink might set you back 15,000 to 20,000 pesos per person, and an empanada from a street cart is about 3,000. The dola blue, the unofficial exchange rate, means your dollars go further than you might expect, but it also means you need to be careful about getting the right rate when you change money. There's also the practical business of getting around and staying safe. Most of you won't need a visa. Americans, Europeans, everyone from the UK, Canada, Australia, they all get 90 days entry and you can extend it once. For buses, you need a sub card, and you can now also tap your contactless Visa or MasterCard on most bus readers, which is a newer development and very handy. I'd say the main thing about safety is just to be aware, especially at night. Keep your phone in your pocket, don't flash it around on the street, and stick to well-lit routes. Córdoba is generally fine, but it's a city, and there are pockets of opportunistic theft, especially in the busy student areas. Tonight, though, none of that felt like a burden. I went to bed with the cold air still on my skin, and the echo of the pena in my head, feeling grateful for this slow, winter drift through a country that gives back exactly what you put in. I'll be here for a few more days, and I'm planning to get out to the Jesuit estancias, the old colonial ranches that are part of a UNESCO trail, and I want to try some locro, the hearty winter stew that's perfect for this weather. And then it's onwards, north. But for now, here in Cordoba, the hills are just out there, waiting for my next walk. That's all for today. If anything I've mentioned, the Pena, the museum opening, the Lomato at Standard 69, or even the basics of getting a SUB card, sounds like it could fit into your own plans, I've put details in the episode notes, including links to the bus routes and the museum schedule. Until next time, hola from Winter, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Ciao.